Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. We have some background noise, some crosstalk there. So I'm going to go ahead and mute the lines. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. Then we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I am calling you from my home office in the beautiful San Joaquin Valley. I know that Arizona is called the Valley of the Sun, but where I live in the beautiful San Joaquin Valley, it is the Valley of the Sun. Sunshine about 350 days a year. We wear shorts year-round here. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I have a fantastic call for you. I had a lot of response to last week's call regarding the science and inner game of prospecting. So I'm going to continue that theme tonight with the real psychology of closing on really how to understand releasing rejection. Rejection is an emotion that affects many people, and I will break down for you tonight cause and effect of why you do what you do. If you are on this call and you are someone who has broken through and you are a master closer, that is fantastic. That means that you can teach closing skills. A large percent of your circle of influence, database, people who join you, whether you're an online marketer, real estate agent, investor, network marketer, or direct sales superstar, a large percent of the population will experience anxiety when it comes to closing. And I'm going to cover the cause and effect of how to let go of those anxieties. But first, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. What a day it has been today in the GMS production studio. So here's a few quick announcements for you. This Saturday, May 2nd, oh my, awesome. The year of our Lord, 2015, May 2nd, Long Island, New York. And I don't know if you know, but those of you who don't know me, I love what I do, and I love to travel, and I love to go out and take it to the grassroots with the people at that grassroots level. This Saturday, I'll be in beautiful Long Island, New York, with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz, two exceptional women who have already hosted two more Hearts and Talents. This is their third event, and we'll be planning two more events on beautiful Long Island. Now, this was Kelly's idea. Kelly asked me about a year ago if I'd ever consider coming to Long Island, and not only have I considered it, but now it is a quarterly event. So thank you very much, ladies. On May 9th, I will be in one of my favorite cities with one of my paisanos, Mr. Joseph D. Bianco. He will be my host with the most, May 9th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. May 30th, the end of May, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts at a fabulous location, a world-class Hilton at Logan Airport. June 6th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut. That will be a fantastic event. That is a standing room only event. June 20th, I'll be in Spartanburg, South Carolina with Jennifer will not be there. I will be there with Bridget Bartley. Jennifer Trinker, I heard her ring in on tonight's call. Jennifer will be experiencing one of life's pleasures, a great vacation. Jennifer, thank you for also bringing me to South Carolina almost 3 years ago. That's where I met Bridget, so thank you very much. June 27th, my first trip to Baltimore, Maryland. Now, that is right at the airport. That is a fantastic location. A Champs Sports Bar is in that hotel, and I'll be doing an event at the Marriott at the airport. I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, I'll be painting myself a Birmingham. That is one of my all-time favorite songs by the great Tracy Lawrence. If you've not heard that song, download it, Paint Me a Birmingham. Susan Reynolds and Natalie Terrell are bringing me to the great state of Alabama, the home of, I won't say it, Roll Tide and Auburn, to the greatest football teams in college football. July 18th, I will be in Newark, New Jersey with Alexis Romano. Thank you very much, Alexis. That will be another standing room only event. I just booked July 25th, Chicago, Illinois, and I just booked C.G. Siddons, who will be my keynote speaker with me on Saturday, July 25th. I have a few open dates in August. I'll be doing the Millionaire Blueprint on Friday, August 14th, in one of the most beautiful cities in America, San Diego, California, August 29th, Portland, Oregon, with Rebecca Caffiero. Rebecca is one of my exceptional clients who has already booked me for two events this year, one in Portland, Oregon on August 29th and September 19th in Pleasanton. and an event definitely not to miss. For those of you who live in the Eastern Seaboard or anywhere in the United States, Bridget Bartley is hosting me in one of the most beautiful cities in America with so much history, Charleston, South Carolina, October 3rd. I know some of my clients are going to be going to that event as well. That will be a great opportunity to collaborate with some exceptional millionaires. I know Jennifer Trinkner will also be at that event. Now, in the next couple weeks, I have some exceptional guests. Next week, I have Jim Rohn's manager. Many people do not know that the real power behind the great Jim Rohn was his manager, Mr. Kyle Wilson. Kyle has been a longtime friend of mine for over 16 years. Kyle has booked some of the largest events of personal development and self-improvement. Kyle was also very instrumental in Jeff Olson and Eric Worre's career, as he was one of the founding members of the great company, The People's Network, where Eric Worre and Jeff Olson were the two top income earners. So I'm going to have Kyle Wilson tell a little bit of history about that company that launched in 1993, which myself and Jerry Clark were a part of early in our network marketing career. So I'll give you a little insight on that. Kyle spent over 20 years with the great Jim Rohn, traveling the world, booking events with Jim. So he'll give you some great insight. And a call definitely not to miss. I'm looking at my date. On May 12th, it will be the inaugural premiere of Jennifer Trinkner. It will be the first time that Jennifer has ever been a guest on my call. Jennifer is an exceptional woman, first-class human being, great friend. Jennifer has been my client for going on 4 years. I have had the privilege of watching Jennifer go from fashion model. She's been in many, many magazines. She's also been an exceptional woman in business. She has also been won many pageants, a mother of two. I'm very good friends with Jennifer and her first-class husband, Tom Trinkner. But Jennifer also has become a multiple six and well on her way to seven-figure income earner. And she'll be my guest on Tuesday, May 12th. Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, Mark Victor Hansen, and to note, I am just today signed a contract with the great Mark Victor Hansen and his wife. Now, this will be a first. Mark has spoken for me on 6 different occasions, but on Saturday, November 7th, Mark Victor Hansen will be a keynote speaker with myself, Alexis Romano, C.G. Siddons, and Susan Sly, and a couple of other speakers on Saturday, November 7th, in Newark, New Jersey. That will be Newark, New Jersey, Saturday, November 7th. I just contracted the great Mark Victor Hansen. Tickets will go on sale for that in the very near future. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Just going to let you know one other situation I have going on. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, you may have noticed that I've been releasing videos on the upcoming projects that I'm in the process of creating. Sometime around the 1st of July, I'll release one of my products, and later in July, I'll be releasing my second product. I'll be releasing an online coaching platform. For those of you who want to receive some of my coaching online, 24 hours access, I'll be releasing that product right around July 1st, followed very closely with my coaching certification program. Now, that will be an 8-hour course of online video content on how to become a certified life, business, success, addiction coach. I'll be breaking it down for you so you will be able to create profits from the comfort of your home, how to create leads, how to do a 15-minute coaching call, turn it into a result, get compensated, how to brand yourself as a coach, deliver keynote speeches, write content. You'll also have access to many of my resources like Kyle Wilson. You'll have access to my ghostwriter, who is an exceptional woman, Claudia Volkman, who is a fantastic ghostwriter, who's going to be at my protege writer speakers workshop, and I'll be really giving you the insight on how to not only be a coach, but coach a team, coach a database, and attract and become a circle of influence and affluence. Now with that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. 2015, what a year. I am watching people in the network marketing and direct sales industry unequivocally break records. Back in my day, it seems like 100 years ago that I started my network marketing career in the late 80s. I remember the challenges it was in long distance. It was very common to have a phone bill of anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 when long distance was 26 to 38 cents a minute on the big three. Remember the big three? MCI, ATT, and Sprint. And then the great Excel Telecommunications comes out, and they had rates of 14.9 cents a minute back in the day. I am watching my clients who in a very short period of time, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months, some of them are achieving more part-time in their business than they achieve full-time in their job. Now imagine this. You are one day in a relatively short period of time not only able to replace your job, but you're able to make more in a month than you did in a calendar year on your job. Yes, that is unequivocally not only a possibility, but a probability and a definite of purpose for many of you on tonight's call. However, if you have anxieties that overwhelm you, if you have stories that debilitate you, if you get ready to get ready, if you don't understand the cause that creates the effect, and you stay in an overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined state, then there's a high probability you will never reach the land of promise. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. I found an exceptional video clip, you can find this online, by the great T.C. Cummings. T.C. Cummings is the personal life coach of the great Ron White, who I've had on my call on 4 different occasions. Ron is the champion of memory. On 3 different occasions, he's in the world champion of memory. See if you can Google and find this video. T.C. Cummings is a Navy SEAL, and he does a video clip on why you should make your bed. Now, the significance of making your bed, because it's the first discipline you do in a day. And if you are not disciplined, then you are probably undisciplined. You will wing it, get overwhelmed, and you will do the same thing over and over, living in anxiety. Now, if you have rejection anxiety and you have a dialogue with money that's not conducive to creating, receiving, asking, and collaboration, then there's a high probability that you will continue to live in a poverty consciousness, an overwhelmed state, and you will never release or never reach the land of promise. Now, for those of you on tonight's call who want to become a multipreneur, direct sales, network marketing, real estate investing, online marketing, you want to be a person of influence, affluence, you want to speak, and you want to create intellectual property, then you must master your emotions. If you do not master your emotional state, then you will go through the up the down staircase in the space between fear and faith in a place called doubt. Now let's break down one of the most common commonalities that affect people who brand, sell, and market. And if you have anxiety issues and abandonment issues, it's typically a direct reflection of events from your past that have shaped a feeling, that has become a mood, that has become a component of your identity. Your identity is going to be based on a series of expectations that you recreate and create over and over to fulfill your feelings. Now, feeling good is absolutely a choice. And when you begin to understand the value of your words and the value of your time, and you start to understand what you get compensated for, then you will not have a bad or a down day. A woman recently asked me at an event where I was hosting an event with Alexis Romano and C.G. Sidden. She asked me, what do you do when you have a down day? And I told her, I do not have down days. Now, like many people, she misunderstood me, and she was perplexed and confused. And I further went on to give her the insight that I may have a challenging moment, but a moment does not dictate a day. This Saturday in Houston, Texas, an exceptional young man, Jared Wilkins, who I've known for 10 years, walked into my room. He wanted to come in and give me some respect from the 10 years ago when I met him. He attended one of my Jim Rohn seminars where he was in the audience at 21 years old, and Susan Sly was in the audience at 30 years old. She was a participant in my first Jim Rohn seminar that I ever hosted, 2005, Dallas, Texas, at the Westin Hotel Galleria in North Dallas. Jared was 21 years old. Fast forward 10 years later, he walks into my room late in the afternoon in Houston, Texas. I asked him to grace the stage with me. He's now a 7-figure income earner in his company. And I said, Jared, what are you doing? You have a bad day. And he said the same thing. I don't have a bad day. The reason being is he cannot afford to have a bad day, and neither can you. You can have a challenging moment, a mini meltdown, M-I-N-I, but not manny. And if your emotional state is not conducive to being relaxed, being present, being in the now, being available, then there's a high probability you're going to spend a lot of your time in an inner and an outer body experience, processing, hesitating, pontificating, getting ready to get ready. If you're in a business that requires sales skills, asking skills, the ability to answer questions, the ability to listen so you can hear what's meant, not said, you must have the ability to write copy, sales content, posts, blogs, and be able to effectively use social media, then you must let go of the control that keeps you out of control of being in anxiety of rejection, abandonment issues. If you grew up in a dysfunctional home with alcoholic issues and or tendencies, if there was violence or sexual dysfunction, any of these situations, a passive-aggressive and or aggressive personality in that household, there's a high probability it affected your neurological state. If you find yourself explaining, justifying, validating, if you find yourself talking too much, if you find yourself creating a story to avoid what you perceive to be painful, then you will live in one of the biggest regrets, the pain of regret. And if you are willing to have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect, and you are also on this line tonight, and you have a team, and you're starting to move forward, but your team is stuck, it's very important that you understand why they do what they do. Early in Jennifer Trinkner's career, early in Alexis Romano's career, I explained to both of them that it's very important that you understand people's predictability. It's very important that you do not get frustrated with your teams. It's very important that you meet people where they are. You don't create expectations that they cannot fulfill, because that will lead to your disappointment. And that does not mean you become a recruiting machine or a machine. You're a human being, and it means you have to understand predictability. Now, if you're in a leveraged business, there's going to be an ebb and a flow, and people are going to come and go. Ebb, flow, come, go. That's going to happen in any business. Even if you have employees, there's going to be employees that don't show up, they don't make it to work, whatever the situation is, you own the business, you have to be able to stand the gaff, you have to be your best employee, and you also have to understand how many people have rejection issues. I can't give you a precise, exact equation, but I'm going to tell you a large percent of people that enter network marketing, direct sales, traditional sales, direct sales, any type of selling, a large percent of the population creates a story that is not real about a future outcome to justify avoiding the perceived pain. Now, many people wait for that perfect, mythical, magical lead. Well, I can call a lead if it comes into Facebook and they say, I'm ready to get started. I can call that lead, yes, so could your grandmother, so could your homie, but you have to be able to let go of your anxiety about this perfectionistic model. I went on to Google just the other day, and I Googled personal health coaches, Chicago land area, 312 area code, and voila, mythically, magically, a website popped up filled with health coaches in the Chicago land area with phone numbers, with emails, with bios, with niches that they are good at, and it had it alphabetically A to Z. On the first page alone, there were over 20 people. So that means in an alphabet of 26 people or 26 letters, there's probably 150 to 200 leads in that website alone. But see, that's not a perfect lead for most people. Most people would not call that lead because of the story they would tell themselves. Some of the greatest entrepreneurs that I've ever enrolled in my teams came from someone I met in a 3-foot rule in a health club, a wrong number I found on a 10-cent lead, and a postcard that someone quit the business and they gave me access to their voicemail box. I have enrolled people in precarious places. I've met people in great situations. I've taken business cards out of fish bowls. I've met people from all walks of life. It's the questions you ask in a sequence that dictate the outcome. But if you have anxiety about that outcome, then your body's going to go into fight or flight. You're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to create a story about rejection that is not real. I'm going to break rejection down for you. When someone is not interested, they are not rejecting you. And you have to take this one two-letter word out of your vocabulary. I don't like the word no. I've even heard people say go for no. Well, people don't say no. I would never tell you go for no. I would tell you to ask the question. Is to qualify the person for your time. That is the game. Many people open mouth, astral vomit, projectile vomit, talk too much, go into a diatribe, drunkalogue, and whatever it is they do, they TTM, talk too much. If you've been conditioned to behave in a way that you have to explain, justify, and validate yourself, there's a high probability you'll talk too much. Now, here's a place that you must arrive at. You must be in a relaxed state where you can create a flow in your communication. communication style. But if you go in and out of your body, you'll go in and out of your communication. If you're uncertain, you'll use words to validate your uncertainty. You'll use words like, I guess, if I had to say, and see if you can take this frickin' word out of your vocabulary, J-U-S-T. Is all I have to do is just call the leads? Is all I have to do is just show up? Do I just justify my just? Do I just? Just is one of the most common words that people use to validate whatever it is they're about to do. No, just is not what you do. You have to learn the skills, the habits, and the mindset. Most importantly, this is a key word that you must master. You must understand this word, reflex. I was also privileged enough, this was a very unique event in Houston, Texas. I had a gentleman named Antoine Molden show up at my event. And it was just a fabulous event. He had played in the National Football League for 5.5 years at one time. Antoine had played for the great Bill Belichick for the New England Patriots in the 2011 Super Bowl. He was kind enough to break down the very play that lost the Super Bowl, a game of inches, all based on a reflex. Your reflexes will make or break your business. What is a reflex? It means your ability to articulate feelings into words, your ability to spot an opportunity and capitalize on it, your ability to master an emotional state that allows you to ask a question based on a word in the last sentence that the person answered to you. But if you check out, get overwhelmed, based on the anxiety of making a mistake, you can't procure a word out of that statement that the person answered, then repackage it into a question. It goes like something like this. When someone says, I don't know, I'm not sure, you would take the word no or the word sure and say, if you were sure, what would you do? If you did know, what would you say? When you're able to do that, about 99% of the time, the person that checked out checks in, answers your question. Now you can move the conversation comfortably along to find out if there's a qualified buyer, if the person sees the value, if they're able to capitalize on the benefit and the feature, or if they're able to decide and commit. You have to be as cool as the other side of the pillow. You have to have ice in your veins. You can't be in an outer body experience telegraphing that you had no results yesterday. If you telegraph that you haven't had a sale since the late 70s, if you telegraph how uncomfortable you are about building a team, you're not sure if I can lead someone. If you have all this noise going on, then you can't master your emotional state that will create the inner game. You have to let go and relax. This only happens through repetition and experience. But if you've been put in a position as a child that you might get into trouble, well, you'll bring that kind of story into your business and you'll have challenges being able to move the conversation along. You have to let go of the drama you tell yourself. What are my friends going to think? See, when people say that to me, I will put their feet on the fire. I will ask them what friend that they're concerned about. Seldom, if ever, can the person even come up with a friend. And when I start to ask people questions unequivocally get you the answer. But when you're not skilled at asking the questions, you'll end up talking, and you'll not be this word, effective, E-F-F-E-C-T-I-A-V-E, effective. You have to be able to do this. Change the way you've been changing. You can go to a seminar, a rally, a convention. It amazes me how many people go to all these events. I'm not an event junkie. I host them. A lot of junkies come to my events, you know, I appreciate them coming, but here's what pisses me off is they don't apply the insight that they receive from me. I don't deliver knowledge. You get that in high school. It amazes me how many people in our country don't remember anything about the educational system that they were supposed to memorize. They don't know the presidents. They don't know the states. I was asking people today, who's on the $5 bill? Who's on the $10 bill? Who's on the $20 bill? Who's on the $50 bill? What number president was Ulysses S. Grant? What is he famous for? Most people have a very short attention span, don't remember their own middle name, can't close their ass with both hands on it, get overwhelmed by being overwhelmed, and do the same thing over and over, expecting the results to change. It is not going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is if you master the reflexes, you master the repetition and the experience. You have to buy in. You have to buy into the process. Antoine Molden, my client, who was at my event in Houston, broke down the play that lost the Super Bowl game, and he showed how the defensive back who intercepted the pass at the goal line moved up up one half step, which allowed him to step in front of the receiver because of what he read on the play. When a man went in motion, that gentleman was not even drafted. He wasn't even on the starting team. He wasn't even on the entire team when the season started. He did not start one game yet when duty called. Big-time players show up in big-time games. He moved up one step, intercepted the pass, changed the course of a Super Bowl game. See, that can happen to you when you are in the right place at the right time and you have the ability to recognize it. You have to let go of some of these anxieties that keep you in a story. Your story is an effect, it's not a cause. When you begin to understand the events that shape the feelings, then you can address why you do what you do. If you don't understand why you do what you do, you will continue to walk through life with rejection issues. People do not reject you. They will give you a series of reasons, validations, justifications, and most importantly, objections why they can't, won't, shouldn't, couldn't, and would not be able to make a decision. See, it's not that they don't see the value. Oftentimes, a presentation, a business, a product, and a service that could create change represents a contradiction. You also must understand that a large percent of the population are flaw finders. Flaw finders find the flaw. They don't find the results. They're not really looking for a result. They're looking for a problem. A large percent of the population tends to focus on a problem to justify their problems. And the kind of person that does that does not qualify for your time. You must learn to release your anxiety about rejection. You also must learn to release people very quickly who don't qualify for what you're marketing, selling, branding, and they don't qualify for your services, and most importantly, they do not qualify for your time. Not everyone wants to become healthy, wealthy. Not everyone wants to be spiritual. A large percent of the population wants to focus on what's going on in the news. They want to focus on the riots that are going on. They want to tell you what's going on in the government. They want to tell you what's going on in the election. Now, I understand it's important to be aware of what's going on in the world, but when you obsess about what's going on in the world, you can't be very worldly. You focus on problems. And when you focus on results, when you focus on solutions, then you can solve some of the problems of the world by not being one of the problems. When you let go of your problems and start to focus on a solution, then you won't give so much energy into being rejected. Why do so many of you put this unevolved energy into being rejected? Why is that? Ask yourself, why do I have so much anxiety about being rejected? Why do I have so much fear about failing? You can tell I've probably coached 60,000 hours. I have. I hear the same story over and over. People say to me, I bet you get tired of coaching. No, I don't. I'm really good at it. I don't get tired at it. I get compensated for my value. I have a 12 to a 14-week waiting list, bordering on 16 at times. I don't get tired of it. I'm good at it. It's a niche. It's a skill. It's a habit. It's a reflex. It's something I'm very, very good. I'm very good at asking questions. I'm very good at listening. I have a very skilled inner left ear. I can hear what's meant, not said. I focused on becoming one of the greatest salespeople I could ever possibly become. I never focused on being the best salesperson. I focused on being my best salesperson. You would have to take your selling skills to the next level. You have to understand that a lot of institutions, organizations, they don't really teach you how to sell. They teach you how to share. They teach you how to invite. And those are good words to use, but there's a real inner game, the Zen, the Z-E-N. The inner game means the yin and the yang. And in that inner game, you have to operate from the hands-free zone. You have to be able to break a sweat from your temples and your low back because you are so in the flow. You have to be able to be in the hands-free zone where you're not concerned with the outcome. You're not concerned with making mistakes. You've let go of your doubt. You're in a place called faith. Fear does not knock on the house of spirituality. You don't hang on to what hasn't happened. You don't tell stories that haven't happened. You're able to be here, be now. I'm me. I'm free. You're able to operate in the quantum field. You're able to let go. You're able to ask the questions in a sequence. You're not concerned with making a mistake. You know how to throw a dart in a bullseye. You know how to sight. You know how to line the sight up with a gun. You know how to very, very relaxed state pull that trigger. You know how to throw an out pass. You can take someone downtown. In softball, you can do an underhanded 90-mile-an-hour pitch if you're a woman. If you're a basketball player, it's NBN. It's nothing but net. If you're a gymnast, you nail it. A cheerleader, a runway model, you create that swag as you go down the runway. All that, see, that's the hands-free zone. When you can forget that there's a problem, you let go of your problem. When you focus on a problem, you manifest it. To your reality, you attract the emotions that you give off. If you're in an emotional, overwhelmed state, you're going to attract people to fulfill those feelings. So ask yourself, why do I put so much energy into these two equations? The most energy that I assist people let go of is their fear of failing and their anxiety about rejection. Those are the most two common commonalities. Why do we have so much anxiety about that? Because as children, we do get rejected. We get traumatized. We get emotionally abandoned. We get neglected. We get sexually abused. We get humiliated. We get judged. We get neglected. We get made fun of. We get turned up upside down in a locker. I'll never forget once in my high school career, I got hazed by a group of seniors who used a very, very hot salve, typically used to go on thighs and hamstrings, and I got it rubbed on places it shouldn't have been rubbed. It was very, very humiliating. That was hazing. That left a lasting impression on me. And if you've ever had something like that happen to you, it can leave a lasting impression on you. When you get humiliated, when you get let down, when your own family doesn't see your worth, when you're not good enough, you don't measure up, and no matter what you do, it's not good enough, that creates rejection and abandonment issues. When you get put into a position that you should not be put into, when you have to become a grown-up before your time, when you're giving your money for babysitting and mowing yards to your family to support your family, that has an inner dialogue that gets created that you don't deserve to receive money. When you have to give your money away, it creates a situation that can last a lifetime if you don't let go of the cause that creates that effect. As you begin to change your perception of rejection, when someone does not buy from you, it doesn't usually mean that you did something wrong. Now, if you're over-anxious and you telegraph your feelings, that may have an impact on it. But if someone doesn't buy from you, it's usually because they're not a qualified buyer. You would have to take the situation for what it is. To become skilled, you must learn how to engage with yourself, meaning you have to watch your word choices. You have to love yourself, let go of the control that keeps you out of control, and learn how to have a simple conversation with someone by fact-finding, rapport-building, and being able to create some small talk. And when you're able to do that, then you can become relatable. The more you're able to relate, the higher the probability that the conversation will linger. But when you're overwhelmed and have abandoned rejection issues, you'll create a situation to fulfill those feelings. When you're trying to control the outcome, what you end up doing is you control your emotions. You stay in control of what's familiar. That's what I mean by controlling to control the out of control. When you control what's familiar, your familiar feelings, you're telegraphing your anxiety about an outcome you don't want to have happen. That's when you have the gaps and delay in your communication. That's when you and ah and say words that don't have meaning, sounds that don't have meaning, and that's when you become very unclear in your communication style. When you're unclear in your communication style and you're not able to create the flow in the conversation, your prospects will tend to interrupt you and ask you the very questions that you have anxiety about. So when you telegraph that you don't want to be rejected, when you telegraph that you don't want someone to ask you how long or how much, then you will tend to create that situation to fulfill your feelings so you can say, I just got rejected. People don't reject you. Here's what they do. They tend to prejudge a situation before they even see it. Now, this will be a small percent of your circle of influence. These are the people that you typically worry about. These are the people that you're afraid will reject you. These are the people in your circle of influence that think you're going to be a fool. Well, take a look at reality. Anyone in corporate America or America that brings home a paycheck of about $8,000 a month, which equals about $100,000 a year, is broke. Take the tax liability off the top of $100,000, and here's what you get. You got about $5,500 to $6,000 on a good day. If you have a mortgage of $2,000 a month, $1,500 a month, a car payment, and then kids in college, factor 8% loans, 7% loans on major universities, then you have challenges. When most of America has liability debt, Americans require a second income. They're not going to get a raise from their boss. A lot of institutions have put freezes on raises, or 3%, about as much as you get. A second job, trading more time for dollars, you're never going to get ahead. This is why people require a leveraged business. Now, even though they may require it, a large percent of the population is going to stay in their own story. They've heard that something is a scam. They've heard something isn't good. They've heard something doesn't work. They've heard a series of wives' tales that only people at the top make money. They've heard statements and situations that aren't valid. And some of those people will bring those type of objections to the table, a small percent. Most of the population that does not see what you're doing prejudges judges that talks themselves out of it, tells them how hard or difficult something's going to be, and most importantly, will tell themselves they do not have the time. A lot of what they don't understand is misunderstood. They're misunderstood because they're overwhelmed, they're intoxicated, their emotional state, they get ready to get ready, they have so much going on and noise in their head that they couldn't see the forest for the trees. You have to learn to do this. Let people go quickly, early, and often. You have to be able to trust your feelings, trust your own emotional state, trust your gut feeling, trust your intuition. But if you yeah but yourself, yeah but I didn't do it good enough, yeah but if I'd have said this, I might have been able to keep them, I might have been able to get them. You're not a keeper, you're not a gatekeeper, you're not a zookeeper, and you're not a getter. You don't G-E-T-T-E-R. You don't get people and you don't keep people. You're in a transitory business where there's an ebb and flow. People come and go. You haven't even remotely attracted, developed, and or created the best leader or the best person who's going to open their door to you to the magical, mythical referral market. When you're able to create referrals, free leads from the comfort of your home, that's when you have free enterprise where there is no limitations on what you can create in the free market. But when you're in anxiety about rejection based on a past event, that's where rejection comes from. A large percent of us have been rejected. A large percent of us did get neglected. A large percent of us have been forgotten. A large percent of us did get overlooked. And if you were one of these kids that was so smart you broke the curve, or you were so smart you got overwhelmed, or you got medicated because you were just too rambunctious, too much energy, whatever the situation, there's a high probability that you don't have the reflexes required right now to be able to be good at this skill. That's why you have to have repetition and experience. There's no such thing as someone who's a natural-born salesperson. One of my favorite wives' tales that I encounter with my food addicts is I'm big-boned. It's amazing how many people tell me they're big-boned. I mean, that's what that means is I have a big appetite. That's what most people mean. They have a big appetite because they have many rejection issues based on past event. A big appetite equals stuff feelings. Stuff feelings equal carried weight to keep people away from me. And if you're someone who's carried a lot of weight over the course of your life, there's a high probability it's a direct reflection of the events that happened that shaped your feelings, specifically events of neglect, abandonment, sexual abuse, because that weight keeps you safe. It keeps people away from you. And then voila, one day, mythically, magically, you decide to buy a product that you can release weight. And you can't mythically, magically release some of those pounds that you hold on to, because that's the control that keeps you in control of being out of control. And you have so many rejection issues based on the people that traumatize you that you can't possibly see the forest for the trees to the land of prosperity, which means you have rejection and abandonment issues. You bring them into free enterprise, and you wonder why you can't pick the frickin' telephone up, and you end up with the refrigerator. It's a very common commonality. That's what many people do. They get so emotionally overwhelmed that they require food, alcohol, pharmaceutical medication, compulsive spending, procrastination, getting ready to get ready, and shiny object syndrome to avoid the perceived pain that never really happens. When you let go of your story, the story about abandonment, the story about rejection, when you let go of the story of being judged, when you let go of the story of not being able to lead someone, when you let go of the stories, I'm not sure if I can handle this, one of the most common stories when it comes to asking is most people have a story about the money. I'm not sure if I can ask for it. They might require it. I don't want them to think I'm pushy. One of the most common fallacies that I laugh my ass off is when people say, I don't want someone to think I'm trying to sell them something. Now let me point this out to you. If you played football, baseball, or any sport, and you said to your opponent, I don't want you to think I'm trying to win, I just want to have good sportsmanship and we'll see what happens, you would get laughed off the field. You would get laughed off the track, off the tennis court, if you came across with that kind of attitude. You have to find your competitive, confrontational attitude. And if you're one of these people that walks around the planet that says, I don't like confrontation, I understand the merit to that, but you have to confront yourself. If you can't confront yourself, you can't confront your adversary. If you can't confront your objections, you can't confront other people's objections. If you can't confront your inner demons, you won't be able to let go, and you'll be able to you'll keep doing the same thing over and over. Change your perception of confrontation. Confrontation is not physical, it is emotional. You have to be able to confront and objection. You're going to receive objections and prejudgments, and the better you get at that process, the higher the probability that you'll create in a law of average a result. Now, alone today, I had five people hire me. Those were rehires, new hires. A woman called me from Australia right before I got on the phone. That's because of my marketing campaigns. That's the compounded effect that I consistently bring to free enterprise one day at a time based on the fact that I don't have bad days, I don't get sick, I don't get overwhelmed, I focus on results, I focus on solutions. It was not always like this for me. 14 years of my life, I was in an overwhelmed, addicted state. Every single year, I would go deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole until I eventually reached the bottom of the rabbit hole, rock bottom, a very overrated place to make a comeback from. You do not require colossal comebacks. You do not require being homeless. You do not require being in the NFL club in three categories like I was once. No friends left, no funds left, and not for long. What you require is courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, and there's always a market for it. I have to be bold. That one, I laughed my ass on that one too. Bold. What is bold? That is laundry detergent. Bold does not apply in prospecting. You don't have to be bold in prospecting. You have to be able to ask the questions. When you can break it down, when you can find the common denominator, when you can let go of the stories that you tell that are so big that you can't start, and the common denominator is five words, because that's the easiest way to ask a question. Four to five words is the easiest question you can ask. How are you? How are you today? That's four words and five words. That's the easiest way to strike up a conversation. That means engage. 5 to 15 words are the standard length of a question, when you can break that down to the common denominator. But most of you think you have to talk. You have to talk about the benefits and the features. You have to explain the compensation plans. You do way too much talking. All of those situations can be found out when someone is in the culture. Your objective is not to explain the culture. Your objective is to qualify the person for your time. And when you can learn what you get paid for, then you'll spend a lot more time getting compensated. But when you have anxiety about getting compensated because of your own broke thoughts, poverty consciousness, an overwhelmed state based on your rejection and abandonment issues, you'll never get around to the laws that govern money, numismatic law. You'll continue to use other people's money, FICA money, debt money, and you'll end up paying somewhere between 5 to 28% interest. Now, that does not even make sense. And if you're ready to move into the land of prosperity and reciprocity, then you have to learn some skills that will lead you to the money. And if you have one of these, if you keep saying, where do I find a business builder, you don't find a business builder. You attract and develop leads, and then as you go through the leads, you ask questions about the outcome. You learn how to sell the dream. You don't sell the dream by dreaming. Dreaming is important, but you sell the dream by being able to ask people questions to see if they have any dreams. You ask people questions. If money weren't an issue, what would you do with your time? What is the reason you're looking at a way to start a business from your home? People ask me all the time, I can't find the sequence of questions on your downloads. Well, that's because you're probably not listening. You're probably checked out. The sequence of the questions are not rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. They are not black and white. It is not a scripted metaphor. Prospecting and selling, you can use a script, but it's not the script that's important. It's the energy that you bring to the table. It's the tone of your voice. And if you come from anxiety, you telegraph your rejection issues. And it's how much faith you have. It's not the fear you bring to the table. The script is a series of words typed out on paper, printed out so you can read it. Hello, my name is Data. I am reading you a script. If you ask me a question off this script, I am screwed. So I will try to stay on the script. How do I sound? Do I sound very mechanical? Ha, ha, ha. Are we having fun now? Please ask me a question so I can validate my rejection issues. Oh, you just asked me. I get it. That's what most people do. They're mechanical. They have so much anxiety about the outcome, they cannot let go. You have to meet people where they are. Stop being concerned. Here's another term I term. People up there. I'm not sure if I can talk to people up there. I go, where are they? The penthouse? They're on the 53rd floor of the Empire State Building. I once did an event on the 53rd floor of the Empire State Building in 1992, and I wasn't up there. I went in an elevator into a room. I did a presentation. Up there means you're putting yourself down here. You're making a story about people in white shirts and red ties, in blue blazers and white blouses that you think are corporate Americans that are up there. They have titles. Well, a lot of times people that have titles feel entitled to be successful without paying the price. And see, a lot of these people you make stories about, they're not even interested. Their ego's bigger than their bank account. And these people you make up stories about that you think have big titles, most of them have big liability debt. Many of them are very consumptive. They buy homes in the burbs. They buy Mercedes-Benzes and BMWs that they can't even afford. They have leases. They have second mortgages on their homes. They have kids in college. They are broken Americans. Yes, that's right. They are broke dicks, just like a lot of people are. And you give them so much power and you give them stature, and they aren't even remotely interested in your enterprise. You have to be able to let people go relatively quickly. Who's the ideal candidate? Someone with desire, someone who wants to make some changes, someone who's serious, not curious, someone who's health conscious, someone who wants to improve the quality of their health, someone who wants to create an additional income stream from the comfort of your money. They come in all definitions. They come from all walks of life, and it's your responsibility, the ability to respond, to be able to attract and create a group of people that you can turn into a culture. When you're skilled at prospecting, when you're able to ask the question in a sequence, then you can close the transactions. You require the ability to close sales so you have the volume. No matter what business you have to have people in the funnel. You have to have leads in the funnel. Then you have to have a system and a way to call the leads. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm calling you from Stockton, California this evening. How are you? I'm going to ask you a series of questions to see if you qualify for my time. If you do, we'll go forward. If you don't, I'll let you go very diplomatically. How's that sound? I mean, that's really what you would be saying unconsciously up front. Your unconscious power, your unconscious message dictates the result. Now, when you have swag factor, swag does not mean you're arrogant. Does not mean that you're cocky. Swag means swagger. That's what it means in sports. It means that you're able to walk onto the field like you've been there before. When you hit a home run, you run around the bases and you sit on the bench. When you score a touchdown, you put the ball on the end zone and you go back to the bench and get ready for the next play. When you have swag, it means that you're as cool as the other side of the pillow. It must be jam because jelly don't shake like that. It means that you're relaxed, you're present, you're in the moment, that one lead in the banquet of life will never make or break you. I see people put so much energy into their pretty little pets, into their five leads that they created on Facebook. Oh my God, if I don't close a sale, I don't have any self-esteem. I'm putting my entire livelihood in this one phone call that I'm about to blow because I'm so overwhelmed and so anxious. And then what many people do, they go out and create the very situation they sought to avoid to fulfill a biochemical craving that they're emotionally addicted to, disappointment based on rejection and abandonment issues. If you were rejected as a child, as an adolescent, or you've had divorce issues or situations like that, then that could potentially construe rejection. That is real. That is raw. When you have a spouse who has an affair, they didn't have an affair on you, they had an affair. When you can separate your emotions from the facts, be objective about a situation, not personalize it, then you can do this, move on. But when you keep putting energy into what does not serve you, you keep moving backwards. When you keep moving backwards, you backpedal. You go one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back, and you are constantly going closer and closer to the poverty line. But if you want to live in the home of the brave, the land of the free, if you want to be in free enterprise where you can create and or attract what the free market will bear, then you must master the questions in a sequence. When I say this, it's classic. People, like, they go out and look for the questions are in a sequence. Where's that sequential script? There is a one. It's mythical. It's mythical. What it means is the questions in a sequence are the questions you ask. You ask the questions, but here's context. What do you do for a living? How long have you been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is that a good profession for you? Right there is the break point. Is that a good profession for you? Because that right there will let you know if there's dissatisfactions. There's three reasons that someone will join you in a culture. There's three reasons that someone will buy a product and service from you. Number one, they'll buy a product and service from you because they're dissatisfied with their present vocation. They'll buy a product, service, benefit, and a feature, or a dream from you because they want to improve the quality of something. They'll buy a product and service from you because that product and service they deem can create income for them. Those are the three reasons: money, dissatisfaction, and vanity. Money, dissatisfaction, and vanity. Those are the three reasons that you sell and market to people. Yes, it's broken down that simply. Now, when you can paint a picture and it creates a connection in people, it affects people's sexual energy. It affects not their sexuality, but their sex appeal. When you can bring something to the table that people can see beyond that which is physical, then they can see the outcome. And so all products and services that you see marketed online, in commercial television, in video, on billboards, in magazines, they are selling an outcome. By buying our product and service, you will be sexy. By buying our product and service, we'll enhance your sexual ability. By buying our product and service, you will become a beautiful person. By buying our product and service and coming to our island with your loved ones, you will have a great experience. This type of marketing plays on your emotions. This is done in 30-second increments. This type of marketing creates in the unconscious mind a relaxed feeling. That relaxed feeling becomes a memory. So when you're 5'4", 5'6", and you're a woman and you walk into a grocery store and you've seen something marketed and you're right-handed and it's at shelf level, you're going to buy it, because that's who is marketed to, is typically that demographic. When you're a man, there's also a similar demographic. And the more you understand persuasion, the more you understand mastery, the more you understand sales, marketing, branding, the more you understand predictability, why people do what they do, why people buy, then you'll let go of your own anxiety. You cannot possibly become a student of the game, a master of your emotions, a master of persuasion, unless you're in the repetition and the experience. Education is not knowledge. Application, repetition, and experience is what creates the muscle memory. That's what allows you to step in front of the player in the Super Bowl and pick the pass off. It's called an interception. Lights out, game over. That's the reflex. But if you have reflexes based on rejection, you'll flinch. If you live in rejection and abandonment, you'll have gaps and delays in your communication style. That's why you get the very questions that you don't want asked, because you flinch. It means your body goes into fight or flight. Your left shoulder raises when you're right-handed. Your right shoulder drops. You scrunch your shoulders. You drop your neck. You have a gap and a delay in your communication. You use words like, I guess, if I'd have to, just, I'm not certain. If you use these type of terms, then you are lost in your own sauce, overwhelmed, and emotionally unavailable, checked out. And if you're checked out, you're already overwhelmed about what to say. You miss half the conversation because you're trying to figure out what to say before the person's even finished the sentence. You have to be able to listen to the end of a sentence to be able to have the reflexes to ask the next question. That's the question in a sequence. The question in a sequence comes from the answers to the question you just asked. But if you've checked out, you can't ask the next question because you're concerned about being rejected based on a past event that'll justify a feeling that you're emotionally addicted to. When you're emotionally addicted to these feelings, you will go to the refrigerator. And it's not funny, it's tragic. And this is what so many people do. They go to the refrigerator, they get wine, they get food. They get something to take that edge off, that edgy edge, that angsty angst, that chalk dust that ends up in your mouth, that feeling of bitterness, brokenness. And you continue to live in that level of brokenness, and a tear drops down your eye because you know that this isn't the life you deserve to live, but this is the life that you've been relegated to accept. When you continue to accept your brokenness, your averageness, then you will continue to create rejection issues to fulfill your feelings. When you realize that there's a higher purpose, a higher calling for you, that you were put on this earth plane for more than to be average, then you will do something about it. You will find your passion. You will find your anger. You will tap into it. But see, if you're so nice and you're so seduced into giving and serving, then you're going to have challenges receiving. And if you're such a nice guy, nice girl, and you give and give your power away, and you're so codependent and people keep taking advantage of you, and then you wonder why you don't get recognized, you don't get the rewards, you don't get the pin levels, you don't get paid, and you watch other people getting it and you go, oh, I'm so happy for them, and you're lying to yourself. You know you're lying. You know you're pissed off that other people are getting rewards and you're not getting any. anyone. You're not getting the love and the right people you're looking for. They don't show up. They end up showing up in the people who have the energy, the E-N-E-R-G-Y. Rejection, abandonment energy caps out at the lowest vibrational state. It caps out right around guilt and shame. When you come from guilt and shame, abandonment, rejection, regret, remorse, anger, and overwhelmed feelings, you're sending a very mixed signal that can not possibly attract the prosperity partners that you require to collaborate with. Money does not attract money. Your responsibility is to attract people that you can create results with. It's the results that you create that create the compounded effect. That compounding effect comes from your repetition experience and the reflexes over and over and over. See if you can make your bed in the morning perfectly. See if you can make a bed where you stand back and smile and go, oh my God, that's the best bed I have ever made. Take satisfaction. You may think this is stupid, but go watch T.C. Cummings, who's a Navy SEAL who's defended our country, who's a top-tier personal coach. Find his video. I know T.C. I've met him. He's Ron White's coach. He's an exceptional human being. He did a speech at University of Texas in Austin on the simplicity of making your bed. People have laughed at me for teaching making bed skills. I know what the You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm – see, making your bed is a discipline. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. But if you don't have pride, dignity, and a sense of purpose, then you will be a slob. You'll be sloppy. You'll be overwhelmed. You'll be undignified. You'll be focused on getting rejected so you can look like that. You'll look like you get rejected. You'll be a sad sack, low energy. You'll brood and pout. Your lip will be above – your bottom lip goes above your top lip. You'll be in anxiety and overwhelmed, attracting the same situation over and over. When you get exhausted being exhausted, when you're done being overwhelmed, when you're so done with this, when you're tired of being addicted to being addicted, then perhaps before you ever get to rock bottom, you will change. Change is a choice. Let go of your anxiety about being rejected. Seldom, if ever, does anyone reject you. Seldom, if ever, does anyone confront you. The typical people who will reject you about the business you are in or not the prospects, it's your family. That's typically who rejects you. The reason they reject you because they've been rejecting you your whole life. But yet you're so stuck, emotionally addicted to your own family that you keep going back for more. And then you keep justifying and say, but you don't understand. They're family. They're blood. I have to go back there and get abandoned, neglected, and rejected. That's all I know. That's who I am. I can't move across the country. I can't move across the city, across the state. I'm emotionally addicted to this. I have to keep going back for more. You don't understand. My situation's unique. My family likes to reject me. We're close to rejection. See, when you do that, that's who rejects you. The people who typically reject you, these are isolated incidents. There are some families that unequivocally are awesome, but by and large, a lot of you on tonight's call have been rejected by your brothers, your sisters, family members. People have hurt you inside that family. You keep going back for more, and then you're stuck in guilt because you're too guilty to let go. Then you're stuck in resentment because you're pissed off that you keep doing the same thing over and over. Now, when you get honest, H-O-N-E-S-T, then you can change. When you start to live these two worms, rigorous honesty, that means there's no more cheat days. Write it down. No more cheat days. I don't get a drink. I'm not going to drink on New Year's Eve. I'm not going to have Dom Perignon. I will never get to taste the number one vodka in the world, Grey Goose. Nice packaging, looks good in the bottle, but pleasure isn't worth the pain for me. If I took one sip, one's too many, 1,000 would not be enough. I'll never get to take one of those psychotropic drugs that we used to take the edge off from me. Ah. You know, the barbiturates and the synthetic heroin that I used to like to take, I won't be taking those. Anacin, aspirin, see you, cuz, no thank you. NyQuil, DayQuil, not for me. 18% alcohol, no, I won't be doing that. No more cheat days. Dessert, I pass on tiramisu, sorry, not for me. After dinner drinks, Louis XIII looks great. Louis XIII has a $35,000 an ounce. And I'd like to try it, but it's not going to happen. It won't happen for me. It just is not going to happen. Discipline. When you can discipline your when you can discipline your expectations, then you're not violating yourself any longer. Discipline means disciple of. When you become a disciple of your emotions, when you can change the way you've been changing, then you're becoming a person of influence and affluence, and you will begin to let go of the events that shaped your feelings, specifically that has created beliefs about rejection. People do not reject you. They use objections. I don't have the money. I want to think about it. I want to ask someone else's opinion. I want to talk to my wife, significant other, accountant, someone down the street. I want to talk to a doctor. I want to run this by this person. I want to try it first. A lot of people want to do these things. You have to be able to meet people where they are, understand why they do what they do, understand predictability, and most importantly, let the situation go. You have to be able to attract and find people you can collaborate with, not compete with. When you're able to let go of that, the only competition you require is healthy competition with yourself. My name is Jeffrey Combs. My number is 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. I will be delivering this content this Saturday in beautiful Long Island, New York. Take a look. It's springtime. Isn't that freaking fantastic? In the year of our Lord, 2015 is officially springtime. There has never been a better time to do business than now, but especially in the springtime of our youth. So absolutely capitalize on the springtime, the summer, 2015. I will see you at many of the events, More Heart Than Talent, Millionaire Blueprint. Have a great evening, everyone. Thanks.